love.
I really love Mary J. Blige. That is true. I'll tell you who doesn't have real love for Pete Hegseth. Senator Lisa Murkowski just announcing everybody that after thorough evaluation, I must conclude that I cannot in good conscience support Pete Hegseth's nomination for Secretary of Defense. I did not make this decision lightly. I take my constitutional responsibility to provide advice and consent with the utmost seriousness. Too bad Pete Hegseth isn't a serious nominee for the Secretary of Defense. I'm pretty surprised by this, I have to say, because everybody had looked to Senator Joni Ernst as sort of the canary in the coal mine during his confirmation hearing, and she basically gave him a pass. So remember, the margins in the Senate are razor thin. So whether or not we're going to have an utterly unqualified, couldn't lead a tiny, either of two tiny little nonprofit organizations without driving them into bankruptcy and closure, likely alcoholic, womanizing, wife cheating, impregnating wife three while he was still married to wife two, credibly accused sexual assaulter Pete Hegseth as our next Secretary of Defense, maybe there will be another Republican of good conscience who thinks that our national security interests aren't served by such a nitwit running, you know, the entirety of the 3 million plus people and nearly $1 trillion in budget Defense Department. I don't know. I mean, do you really have to, like, take this responsibility deeply seriously, Senator Murkowski, to come to the conclusion that you should probably vote no on Pete? I don't know. Shouldn't be that hard. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here is what I want to talk about today. 2 days ago, the Trump Department of Justice sent a directive to all DOJ offices and all U.S. attorneys' offices. In this directive, what the Trump Justice Department, what Donald Trump is saying, is that federal prosecutors and federal law enforcement are being mandated to investigate and potentially bring criminal charges against state and local law enforcement officials. You know, your friendly cop that you see at the coffee shop that you know or that you see out on his beat, your sheriff that's helped you when you've gotten a flat tire or run out of gas. Yeah, he's talking about federally investigating and prosecuting the people that you rely on to keep your family safe in your neighborhoods if they don't cooperate with the federal government's mass deportation agenda. Now, I know a lot about this because he's not just trying to do that or is doing that, and I'm going to detail that for you, but he's also critical federal law enforcement funding grants to state and local law enforcement if they don't help the federal government do its job. Okay? Here is what he's threatened. There's a couple of U.S. code provisions that this involves. Here is what he's threatening your friendly local police officer, your sheriff's department with. Potentially criminal charges under 8 U.S.C. 1324 and 18 U.S.C. Section 371. Under Section 371, you can face up to 5 years in federal prison. It covers conspiracy to commit an offense against or defraud the United States. I'm going to talk to you about like why all of this stuff is stupid and would likely be struck down by a federal judge. But the very idea of threatening your local police officers and your local sheriff's deputies with this kind of nonsense is beyond me. 8 U.S.C. 1324 prohibits the harboring of people who are here illegally. And it describes that. Harboring has a very specific meaning under federal law. And the penalties under that provision are 5 years, 10 years, and up to life in prison. you know, we back the blue, but I'll threaten to put your blue in your neighborhood in prison for life if you don't help me execute my mass deportation plan. That is what Donald Trump has said to local law enforcement. Now, here is the thing. Do you remember this little thing when conservatives were all about, like, states' rights and the federal government cannot usurp the areas of the law that are that the Constitution reserves to states to decide? Federalism. Federalism meaning those powers not explicitly granted and confined to the federal government are in all cases presumed to be held by states. And in order to give life to that under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it means that the federal government cannot take the resources of state and local government for the purposes of enforcing federal law. This makes sense, right? Like, we pay taxes to the federal government. We separately pay taxes in the form of income and property taxes and sales taxes to our state and local governments. If the federal government can effectively seize state and local law enforcement and be like, you are now responsible for enforcing U.S. federal immigration law, it's like stealing your tax dollars. You can't do that. The federal government cannot assume, co-opt, coerce, take over local government for the purposes of executing federal law. Mm-mm. And not only are they threatening your local law enforcement agents, your cops and sheriffs, with imprisonment, not only is that a violation of the 10th Amendment, here's how it also will affect you as a taxpayer. So he's threatening the safety of your communities by doing this, by draining resources away from your local law enforcement to actually enforce state-based criminal statutes. But here's this. Immigration violations are civil infractions. They're not crimes. They're civil. So what Donald Trump is trying to, he's not only trying to force local law enforcement to do ICE's job for them, to do the job of Homeland Security for them. And I can set aside for the purposes of this discussion the insane costs of trying to actually round up and deport 12 million people from the United States is trillions of dollars. Here's the thing. He's also trying to ask law enforcement to detain anyone identified by ICE as potentially here illegally. Couple of things on that as a practical point. If your name is Juan Ramos, there might be a whole bunch of them. Absent biometric data, which not all local jails or police departments collect, how do you know it's the Juan Ramos who overstayed his visa or who came here illegally? You don't. So it's like, one, do we even have the right person? And here's the second thing. What does detainer mean? If ICE wants to come and pick up someone who's already locked up in any county's jail, they can do that. They just show up and be like, give me that person. Especially if the federal charge, if there's a federal criminal charge, not just the civil immigration violation. If the federal criminal charge, if they're a dangerous gang member, the MS-13, and there's a bunch of like really serious federal criminal charges, they'll just take the person and deport them. That's always been the case. But that's not what this directive that Trump gave to the DOJ to threaten local law enforcement actually does. It goes beyond that. It doesn't narrow its application to dangerous criminals that are wanted under federal warrants for murder or gang activity, drug trafficking, human trafficking. No, it's not limited to that at all. It applies to anyone that's here illegally. So what happens is, let's say someone is picked up, who's here legally, is picked up by local law enforcement for unpaid. Okay? You got a bunch of those. You may get picked up. What happens then? Well, that's a state law or local ordinance violation that triggers a charge. You can be detained. You got a hearing before a judge. They say you got to pay your parking tickets or get on a plan. You're effectively arraigned. And now you should be released, and you know, it may take in some crowded jails, read Milwaukee County at times, it might take you a day to get in front of the judge. But now, just because your misdemeanor infraction is this volume of unpaid parking tickets, you should get released. And by the way, the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment of the United States promises you that you should be released from custody if there is no longer any valid state law-based reason for you to continue to be locked up. But what President Trump is trying to direct local law enforcement to do is keep that person in effect illegally in violation of their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights in a local county jail, costing you, the taxpayer, more. And by the way, people that have had this done to them have sued counties and states for the violation of their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights and have won millions of dollars. Guess who pays that? You do. Yeah. So let's zoom back out. Donald Trump has just threatened local law enforcement with up to lifetime in prison for failing. And this is not about violent criminals. If there's a violent criminal in lockup and they got federal warrants and charges, and local law enforcement will hand those people over. That's not what I'm talking about. But people who are otherwise supposed to be released from your local jails so that they don't cost you the thousands of dollars someone costs on an almost daily basis when you have them in a county jail, if you fail to release them and you keep them in violation of their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights, Donald Trump is saying you have to do that. And if you, local law enforcement, don't do that, I'm going to criminally prosecute you. He is trying to compel local law enforcement to violate the Constitution. Do you recall Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing, Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing, where they were asked in many ways, shapes, and forms over and over again, if the president of the United States gives a directive that violates the U.S. Constitution, will you tell him so, and will you refuse to heed that directive? And none of them would answer the question. Here's an example of that. Now, before I go to the phones, because I want to hear from you, 855-75-CIVIC, that's 855-752-4842. I want to read to you the deep legal analysis that Donald Trump's genius squad of lackeys and loyalists at the Department of Justice used to explain their new mandate that local law enforcement violate the 10th, 4th, and 5th, and 6th Amendments. In other words, you know, ignore the Constitution or face potential federal prison time. Here's the deep legal analysis. We could count the words again. I'm going to read it. The Supremacy Clause and other authorities require state and local actors to comply with the executive branch's immigration enforcement initiatives. I kid you not. The Supremacy Clause, which basically means in a space of legislation, if federal law, and it's clearly a federal power, and state law conflicts, the federal law governs. But that doesn't overrule all of the civil rights protections and the 10th Amendment. Yeah, here it is. The Supremacy Clause and other authorities, I'll get to those in a second, require state and local actors to comply with the executive branch's immigration enforcement initiatives. No, it doesn't. Federal law prohibits state and local actors from resisting, obstructing, and otherwise failing to comply with lawful immigration-related commands. Oh, check that word, lawful. They're not. And requests pursuant to, for example, the president's extensive Article 2 authority, with respect to foreign affairs and national security, the Immigration and Nationality Act and the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 that was used to intern the Japanese during World War II. Yeah, all that's garbage. That's the extent of the legal analysis, like four lines. Just forget the Constitution. I'm going to take your comments and calls when we come back, and I'm going to give you a little chuckle before the end of the show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with the Maggie Dawn Show in just a moment.